Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Good morning, Dr. Kevin Moos. Let's find you here on the phone. Good morning, doctor. Let's go ahead and turn the phone on the radio. Good morning, doctor.
All right, for the third time. How are you doing, Steve?
We have an interesting problem here. We have a bright, sunny sunrise over Lake Michigan, and the sun is blasting through the windows, and the sun is reflecting off the control board, and it's difficult to tell what's on and what's not.
That's why you turned Dave's mic off earlier?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We're trying to get through health insurance over these next, you know, several weeks, frankly, because it takes way longer than that. But let's do some background here. I did not know this. Medicare started just in the 60s.
Correct, yeah. Medicare was actually signed in 1965 by Lyndon Johnson. You know, the Social Security Act was started in 1935 by FDR, but it was right in the middle of the Depression, and he didn't feel that putting health care in that was a great idea at the time, and the burden to the finances of the country would have been devastating. And then Truman said, hey, I'm going to bring this back up, and in his State of the Union, he talked about his fair deal, which included health care, but unfortunately at that time, he didn't have enough support in Congress and Senate to get that covered, and then finally Lyndon Johnson did it in 1965. So people think, oh, it's been here forever. No, it really hasn't. It's not, you know, almost kind of in its infancy still.
There's Part A, there's Part B. We can give you a little brief history on that when we come back. We'll talk about the difference between Medicare and Medicaid and some commercial insurance issues to get into as well, and traditional insurance. But having said all that, before we get back with all of that, what is the state of Medicare right now?
It is still in good shape. You know, we still pay into it as us working bees. You know, you'll look and you'll see in your paycheck, you know, that there's a line there for Medicare. So it's not as sound as we'd like it to be, probably much more sound than Social Security. And some of the changes that they're going to try to make in Medicare are ones that are going to try to curtail some costs, which will help to make sure that it continues to go on. You know, compensation for hospitals and compensation for doctors obviously is very flat, if not declining. So it's probably, I would say, sound right now.
And in regards to doctors getting paid, that becomes less and less each year, doesn't it?
It does. You know, there's increases, but the increases don't coincide with the cost of living increases or any of the other increases that go on. So they're very, very minimal. Same with the hospitals. You know, hospitals are get paid by something called a DRG, a diagnosis-related group. So we get a set amount of money to take care of an individual for their care here in the hospital, regardless of how much money the hospital spends on that individual.
More with Dr. Kevin Most on the wild and wacky world of health insurance coming up. Oh, after 7 o'clock this morning, Ryan Nobles will give us some perspective from CNN on the ongoing Putin-Trump summit underway now in Helsinki, Finland. Dean later as well. We'll even get a report on the British Open coming up. Stand by for that. Doc, did you play golf this weekend? Oh, I'll get back to Doc on that. Apparently, I put him on hold. That's what happens when I get up at 2:30. Who knows what these buttons and switches do? Dr. Kevin Moos, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. What's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid?
Medicare is for those over the age of 65 and some with other chronic illnesses, and Medicaid is for lower-income individuals in each state. The plans are totally, totally different, but that's the basic premises. Medicare, over 65. Medicaid, for those who could not afford insurance, did not get offered insurance at their workplace, or are lower-income.
Medicaid is a federal and a state program?
Correct. Yeah, most people don't understand that, but it is. Medicaid is partially funded by the federal government, partially funded by the state. And it varies. So each state kind of gets to make up its own rules. The federal portion of it is based on your per capita income as well as your population. So in states like Illinois, we pay a dollar. The federal government pays $1.05. In Wisconsin, they pay a dollar. The federal government pays $1.40. So it's funded differently in each state, and it's not as portable as you would think. You'd think, oh, I have Medicaid. I can get care anywhere.
Yeah, we just went through this with my brother.
Exactly. So those are state programs, and the only care you can actually get anywhere is emergency care, as you can with any insurance plan.
Dr. Most, where does the issue get political? We're at the intersection of this whole debate over Medicaid, Medicare, and universal health care. Where does the politics play in this?
The politics probably comes more into the Medicaid portion of it than the Medicare portion of it. Medicare is essentially going to always be there. Medicaid is the one where we're saying, do you have to have the individual mandate? Must you have insurance? These are individuals who are often living paycheck to paycheck and now are being forced to go on to the marketplace and buy insurance if they fell in this gap between having being able to get Medicaid and not having Medicaid. That's where the politics falls. The politics falls in those people that we call the gap people. They make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but they don't make enough money to actually go out and buy insurance.
Right. Obamacare, the last major health plan the government was a part of, was the Bush prescription plan, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah, you know, we found, especially for Medicare patients, sure, you can give them insurance, and as they get sick and they need to get on medication, they couldn't afford the medication. So Medicare Part D, the drug portion of it, was signed in 2003 by, as you said, President Bush, which allowed now for Medicare to at least build a formulary, set some tiers, and allow medications to be much more affordable so that seniors actually took the medications that were prescribed to them, which increased their quality of life, extended their life, et cetera.
Well, let's say Justin comes to WGN as an employee. He's offered a certain amount of money.
Got a swipe card?
And yeah, but your card doesn't work. And you got a meeting later about that. But he's offered a certain amount of money, and then as an added benefit, he's offered benefits. We walk around in this country thinking health insurance is something that employers have to supply, and it's mandatory for companies to do that, which is not the case, right?
Correct. You know,
it's a competitive thing. Like, I'm going to hire you over this company because my benefits are better?
Absolutely. It's exactly what it was. Here's our health care plan. Here's our health care benefits. We are going to be more attractive than the guy down the street. You come to work for us. You might make the same amount of money, but our benefits are better. And it's very interesting now because companies are kind of almost going the other way. They're almost going the full swing and saying, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to pay you more. Now you go get your benefits. We want to get out of the insurance business. There's marketplace insurance here now. So you go out and buy your insurance. So instead of us giving everybody in the company the same plan, we're going to give you an amount of money. You go out and decide which plan you want to be in.
All right, so there's tons of interesting stuff here in the notes that we post. And by the way, the only guy I know that could make health insurance interesting, Doc, but you did. This stuff gets posted with the podcast. So you listen to the podcast of this segment, there's an attachment there for the notes that Dr. Most sends us before the show. So we're giving people the basics of these various insurances. Let's talk about specifics in a way that people can maybe relate to. Dave is approaching the end of his career, depending on how today's show goes.
Okay. Really? It's Monday, Steve. Give me at least a chance to get through the week.
Once he gets... if he were to leave WGN, all I hear from people is Cobra is impossible if I were to get fired, and self-insurance is through the roof. Is that getting worse?
Yeah, that probably is. Cobra is very expensive. People don't understand that when they get their health benefits from their company, what percentage is actually paid for by their company. Once you leave the company has to offer you what they call Cobra. It allows you to continue on your insurance after you've left their employee. But you have to pay the premium now. So you start to realize, oh my gosh, that was a huge benefit for me because now I'm paying, $2,000 a month. And before it used to be, $150 out of my paycheck. So it really showed how much that the companies were paying there. But it's interesting. Dave's probably approaching 65. He's going to have to make a decision 3 months before his 65th birthday or 3 months after to sign up for Medicare. And I would suggest he does.
He's really loaded, though. He probably shouldn't take from the system.
I have a few years. I'd like
to
point that out.
I said that, Dave.
But Dave is loaded.
So, Doc, where should I start looking for COBRA?
Dave, actually, the HR department will have to offer you that. You don't even have to look for it.
Oh, okay.
They will come to you for that.
Wow, that's a relief.
But a lot of people, though, instead of taking COBRA, are actually going straight to the marketplace.
All right, let me talk about the marketplace for a second, because you have John DeCoste here. John is a stand-up comedian. He tours the country like some sort of carnival sideshow freak. And as he's traveling around the country, he actually has a wife who does very well and supports him keeps him in the fancy clothes that he wears. If John needed to provide health insurance for himself and he goes to the marketplace, that's crazy expensive, isn't it?
It can be. It definitely can be. It's going to be based on how much money you make. There's not going to be much of a subsidy for someone like John. So he is going to pay quite a bit. Health insurance is very expensive. Now, you said his wife does very well. I'll tell you, there's a lot of companies now that are saying, hey, instead of getting insurance from us, your wife has a great job. Why don't you get insurance from them? So, companies now are trying to take double income families and try to push the insurance back to the other spouse. Say, hey, compare the plan that your wife has at her company. It may be better than ours because that cost will go down.
Doctor, my policy is through the farmer's market in our town.
Yeah. That's where you get the green peppers for 50 cents instead of a dollar?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's also subscription care. Obviously, traditional insurance has been discussed, but there's something called narrow networks you need to know more about. And on it goes, HMOs, PPOs. There's a million different things here, but Doc breaks it down very specifically. I would recommend checking out Doc Most Notes this week more than any other time I've told you to do that. It's great education every week. But we will continue this, Doc, because there's way too much to get through. Next week, we'll continue more on this health insurance stuff. And in the meantime, I would encourage people to reach out on Twitter at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. If you have a specific question that relates to the provider side of health insurance, then I would recommend you send it to us. And Doc will try to collect a few of those for you for next week.
That would be great.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
You got it. Take care.